Hi, this is Mark Wade, writer of Daredevil, and you're listening to Longbox Heroes.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 363 of Longbox Heroes. I'm Joe, joined by Todd. Todd, how are we doing today?
I'm doing fantastic.
Good to hear, good to hear. We're almost at enough episodes of this show that you could listen to one a day if you wanted to.
Oh my God, that would be a fantastic thing you could do.
No, I'm not doing that.
Not us. Oh, please, not us.
Oh, the royal you.
Right, the pronouns, pal.
Yes. Oh boy, so we got a show today for you.
Yes, we do.
We have discussion about the recent hurricane in and affected the people in Houston, how that is being helped out by comics. The passing of a true legend in the world of comics. Mm-hmm. The reemergence of one of the greatest comics of all time. And very important video game news.
Super important.
Yes.
Life-changing news to Joe.
Yeah, to me, to everyone listening to this show, I'm sure cares about this.
Right.
We also have a bunch of conventions to discuss, a bunch of digital sales and freebies, and I did make sure to go and update the freebie list before we started recording because I had a little extra time.
That's right, a little gap in After Dark and this one recording.
Yes. What we read this past week, which would include Captain Phasma, Star Wars Adventures, and Generations, : Iron Man and Ironheart. What we're looking forward to coming out this week. And also, of course, Todd and Joe have issues as we discuss Starman number 11. And I have a jag to go on with that as well.
I was worried you were going to get the number backwards on Starman 11.
Right. Only a fool would mix up numbers.
That's true.
How do you know I didn't mix up the numbers there on Starman?
I don't. Right. I don't.
There's no way that you know.
Mm-hmm.
So let's start off with the the sad news, as it were, which is the passing of comics great, comics legend Len Wein.
Mm-hmm.
I think we had actually discussed him a couple months ago. I guess he had recently gone in for some surgery.
Right.
And as I recommend to you, the royal you, listeners, and to Todd as well, when someone is famous, or someone that you know of, passes away, don't go and look at their social media.
Okay.
It will supremely bum you out.
Hmm, interesting.
That's all. His last tweet was a day before he died, saying, out of surgery, I still have both my feet, things are looking good.
Yep.
And I'm like, oh boy, there's a bummer for you.
Mm-hmm.
And sorry for bumming everyone else out. But Len Wein did, I don't want to say a lot, but he is one of those guys of the modern era who has done a ton of stuff in comics. He's probably worked on every character that you could possibly think of.
Mm-hmm.
He worked at Marvel, he worked at DC, he even worked at Disney for a while.
He was an editor, a writer.
Right. And, most notably, though, he is the creator, co-creator of Swamp Thing, and co-creator of Wolverine, amongst other characters such as Nightcrawler, Storm, and Colossus.
Okay, we'll take those other ones one at a time, sure. But I'm going to start with Wolverine.
Mm-hmm.
Right there, you did that. You pretty much created the thing that was the only thing that appeared in Marvel Comics in the 90s. Like, Wolverine has so many appearances, and he was the biggest thing there for a while, and, you know, it's funny what they've done with him now, because he's an old man Logan, and he's X-23, and the regular Wolverine isn't really around, but just the juggernaut, not the actual juggernaut character that he created as Wolverine, is amazing. Without him, the X-Men probably wouldn't have been the X-Men that they were, and then you throw Nightcrawler and Storm into the mix, That's a lot of big time characters.
Right, and Colossus and Swamp.
I'm sorry.
Right. But that's the thing. And you know, obviously Wolverine is top of the food chain when it comes to these sort of things. But if he was just the creator of Storm, that's not too bad on your resume.
No, it's not.
If he was just the creator of Nightcrawler, just the creator of this, but it was all of those things plus.
Right. And then, Joe, and then you take all of that Swamp Thing, but he handpicked the successor for Swamp Thing. Do you know who the successor for him on Swamp Thing was?
Some guy named Alvin Moore.
Yes, Alvin Moore. Basically, now you wouldn't say that he gave him his start in comics because Alan Moore started in England and all that stuff, but just come on, like that's huge too. Giving him and without him, and this is the whole butterfly effect, the English invasion of comics that came after that. He was a visionary. He saw, you know, he saw what Alan could do, and you know, gave him that. Didn't he edit Watchmen too?
He also edited Watchmen. Yes.
And I believe he edited The Killing. Like, these are the biggest stories, like, in the history of comics. Without Len Wein, none of it happened.
Yes. And obviously, he's one of those guys, and, you know, everyone has skeletons in their closet, and maybe he does. But he is someone who, over the last several days, who you have not seen nary a bad word about anywhere.
Right.
And the other thing, of course, that I wanted to mention, of course, we talked about the Wolverine stuff. The one thing that I saw from everybody tweeting about, you know, their Len Wein memories was all the different Comic-Con and all the other whatever appearances that Hugh Jackman did,
mm-hmm.
where he made a point to either mention Len Wein or acknowledge him if he was in the crowd, if he was there at whatever it was that they were doing.
Right.
You know what I mean? And like, he could have just done nothing.
Which or is not...
He could have had no idea who created the character that he's been portraying.
Somebody put it this way. It's like, and it's true. Tomorrow, if J.K. Rowling died, how huge it would be, created Harry Potter. Wolverine's just as popular. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, and Len Wein, to the masses, lives in obscurity. You know, there's Stan Lee, and that's pretty much it. Like, with maybe, would you say maybe Eastman and Laird? Maybe with the Turtles, because it was such a popular thing, and Kirkman with Walking Dead. You know what I mean? Like, there's not a lot of names that are household names from comics. Or maybe that's just me. I don't know.
Now, again, how household are we talking? You know, obviously Stan Lee, but that's more of a marketing thing, I would say, you know?
Yeah. Some of it just takes its course, too, you know?
I think there's a very steep drop-off after that, but I'm sure if this was a poll that we were taking in the 90s, I bet you people know Todd McFarlane.
Yeah, a little, especially from that Spawn TV show.
Well, I would say during the home run derby when he was buying up all the baseballs.
Right.
I think that there's a lot, like, he still has some presence there.
Mm-hmm.
I think your Rob Liefelds and maybe a Jim Lee even might.
I don't know about those two in the regular world. Honestly, I don't know. See, it's weird because we know. Do you know what I mean?
Right. It's like, tough to remove yourself from that thought.
Exactly. So I don't know. Like, I definitely know, like, I could ask my sister-in-law or my, you know, a couple of my brother's friends, like, who don't read comics, like, who's Stan Lee? They'd know. You know what I mean? But I honestly don't know if I asked them who Jim Lee was. If I did a poll, like, outside of a comic shop, people would know who Jim Lee is.
Right, I'm just trying to think of the people who were in those, like, Levi Jean commercials back during that time, you know?
Right. But those are like a flash in the pan, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, like, Walking Dead, Turtles, and I'm not saying people would even know who Eastman and Laird are.
I know if you said Eastman and Laird to people, they might know,
mm-hmm.
that they had something to do with comics.
Right, and stuff of that's starting to creep out now with, like, the Hulu or the Amazon special with, like, Bill Finger and Bob Kane and all that stuff. Like, and now that people get recognition on the movies as created by, like, maybe some of that will change.
Mm-hmm.
But I doubt it. So.
Anyway, one could only hope. Well, and see, that's the thing, obviously, because the publisher, the marketing arm is bigger than the lowly creator, sadly.
True.
At the
big two, anyway.
Right, at the big two, but I don't even think that any of the creators at any of the other companies are quote-unquote household names, as it were.
Right, but not household names, but at least they would get pushed with the product. Like, Marvel and DC, the characters lead the way, mm-hmm. lead the charge, where the creators don't. Only very few occasions does that happen. But with some of the smaller stuff, they're like, hey, it's Ed Brubaker's this, or, you know, so-and-so's that. It's almost the other way most of the time that, you know, that's what you're drawing people in on. Now, not everyday people, but comic fans. And maybe that's where stuff gets its, you know, like gets its leverage or its traction in some of that stuff.
I would say Kirk, you know, I think you'd mention it, but I think Kirkman might be the closest.
Yeah, because, I mean, he's, you know, he's on those Talking Deads, you know, which millions of people watch.
Right.
So he's equated with the creator of Walking Dead. He is. I mean, it's him and Tony Moore and Adlard. I always get that mixed up.
Right.
Because I always think of Al Red and Charlie Adler. You know what I mean? So, but, yeah.
I wish there was a way we, as the piddling comic book podcast that we are, could do more for the name recognition of some of these great creators.
We'll get right on that.
Yeah, but, you know, it starts small. Don't they say it's just a spark that starts these sort of things?
That's right. The biggest explosions are started with, you know, lighting a fuse.
Yeah.
See, look at me being deep.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Anyway. So moving along, you know, hopefully picking a little bit up here, is independent comic publisher Lion Forge, a relatively new publisher. They have a couple licensed books under their umbrella, like they have the Madballs license, they have the Care Bears license, it looks like they're one of many people that have the Voltron license. But, again, being a small company, they actually stepped up and donated $25,000 to a variety of comic book stores that were affected by Hurricane Harvey.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, you know, I'm sure it's a tax write-off and, you know, there's publicity involved and so on and so forth. But, you know, obviously I didn't see or hear of any other publishers doing this. And, you know, $25,000 isn't chump change.
It isn't. And you don't really hear a lot of, you know, disaster save the comic shops. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Afterwards. So it is nice. I mean, because they know where their bread is buttered, and I wonder if it turns out that maybe some of these shops will, you know, try and push some of their product. I don't know. I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it was a nice, you know, nice gesture to do, and helping's helping.
Right, and they're doing it through the Book Industry Charitable Foundation, which has set up an emergency assistance relief to affect not only the stores in Texas, but also Florida or any of the other affected areas.
From Irma.
Right. I definitely didn't make it here. Now I'm going to preface this by saying that this is a joke in poor taste.
Okay.
But, you know, how they have to, like, all the hurricanes have to be named and they go in alphabetical order, you know?
Right.
With Irma hitting Florida, if Disney was smart, they would have ponied up some money to get the hurricane named Inhumans.
Oh, boy. Then nobody would have saw it.
Well, listen, Inhumans would be on the news all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, with the word hurricane in front of it.
Mm-hmm. Inhumacane.
Ugh. But again, I did preface that saying that was a bad joke that somebody, a horrible person, told me.
That's right. Horrible.
Right. I definitely didn't think that up myself.
Mm-hmm.
So, moving along with other independent publishers, at the very least top 10 publisher, Valiant. they have Quantum and Woody is coming back. We've known that this book has been coming back for several months now. And I understand I have it on good authority that they were handing out free copies of this back at San Diego.
Right.
And you can get your mitts on a copy of this if you're willing to spend a couple bucks. So, with this coming out, they have announced that, of course, as any good number one has, this one, Quantum of Woody number one, is going to have an extreme ultra foil cover.
Oh, boy.
And I do want to read this from the press release, Todd.
Right.
So it says that, of course, it's going to be extreme ultra foil, homaging the notorious excesses of chromium era embossed and enhanced covers with right. authentic comic foil from the 90s. And it says, when we say we're using actual comic foil from the 90s, we mean it. In anticipation of Quantum and Woody's return, we scoured the earth in search of the rarest, most obscure, most arcane comic printing practices ever, only to find a true holy grail of holofoil in the wilds of Canada that had gone virtually untouched for the better part of two decades. Over the next year, we're going to be digging deep into those archives and combining numerous elements, some old, some new, some reclaimed from some of the most prominent covers of the 90s, to create what we think will be the most dynamic, eye-catching cover in the modern era.
You know what, Joe?
What, Todd?
It's all in the marketing, man. Because I am... You know what? If I had a big stack of chips in front of me at a poker table right now,
right.
My phrase would be, I'm all in. I'm all in on this. You bringing up 90s foil and saying you found a batch of it, like, you know, like the Ark of the Covenant, like.
Right.
Just fantastic. Like, I can imagine it was in the warehouse next to the Ark of the Covenant being studied by top men, Joe.
Right.
Top men.
Now, you know, obviously with this, and we've discussed variant covers and things of that nature on this show here many times in the past. In the press release, they did say that the extreme ultrafoil variants will be available at the standard cover price with no minimum order qualifications to retailers.
Mm-hmm.
But if you do want that, they are going to have the extreme ultra chase variant,
whoa,
which is going to have rare, specialized, and supremely wacky 90s foil.
Mm. I know a gentleman.
Okay.
Who's a bit fancy at times.
Right.
We'll definitely need one of those.
Well, he better circle his calendar for December 20th.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're making jokes here about the covers and everything else like that, and as Todd mentioned, it's all about the marketing. Written by Daniel Kibblesmith, who I'm not familiar with, but I understand he's a comedy writer, with art by Kano, who did some of the art on the previous run.
Right.
If I'm not mistaken. And they do have some of the unlettered preview pages up. And at the very least, from the way that it's presented, the way the panels are laid out, the way that it's colored, it does look and feel, just from what we're seeing here, like the old Quantum and Woody. But mm-hmm. It also has like a smattering of the Fix in there.
Okay.
Just from looking at it, like the way the color scheme of the Fix is. It looks like it's almost colored the same way.
Copy nay, yen nay.
Right, and again, if those are the parallels that they're going for, I can't complain. But obviously, any and all information about upcoming things, otherwise about the Quantum and Woody book, of course, this is the podcast to go to. No other podcast.
That's right. We should have a midnight party for the...
We should.
For the Valiant, if they do, oh my god, a Valiant, a Quantum and Woody cake, it'd be great. Write that down.
I just did.
Oh, good.
That's the sound typing. Of you, right?
That's.
So, closing out the news, there's video game news that we need to discuss.
What?
if you've listened to previous editions of After Dark, we've discussed our trials and tribulations in regards to attempting to get a Super Nintendo Classic.
Mm-hmm.
Subscribing to every site, getting on those mailing lists, trying to do pre-orders, and then I did a double pre-order and they canceled it and all this other jazz, right?
Right.
So earlier this week, Nintendo of America president Reggie Fils-Aimé said, don't buy these for more than $80. He said, you shouldn't have to pay more than $79.99 for these. And then when it was brought up to him about what had happened with the NES Classic from last year, they did claim that they are going to raise production numbers on this. Now, they didn't come out and say a specific number, but he did cite that the reason that they did so few of the NES Classic was because other like systems did not sell very well. But obviously, everyone points out, like, those were, like, cheap, junky knockoffs that you could get at Family Dollar, as opposed to the officially licensed by Nintendo one.
Right, so they're going to make some more of the Super Nintendo Classic.
Right.
And that's great. We don't know how many more, but I also heard, too, that they were using some of the parts for the Switch.
Right, they did say that, you know, obviously they are going to increase it from what it was last year, but their number one goal is making sure that there's enough Nintendo Switches out for Christmas.
Right. But if they put out more Super Nintendo Classics, that's great. But what about all the people who didn't get Nintendo Classics?
Well, Todd, they're going to go back to press and be re-released next summer.
So people can maybe get a Nintendo Classic and a Super Nintendo Classic?
That's correct.
Wow. Look at Nintendo making friends.
A new edition with new shipments. No time has been set, no changes to the original edition have been announced, but they did say, obviously, they did see that there is more of a demand than they had originally thought. But again, number one priority, Nintendo Switch. Number two priority, the SNES Classic. Once the holidays are over, then we're going to go back to the older one.
That's right. And then how long is it until it's the N64?
Well, I still have my N64, so I'm okay.
I'm just saying, you know that's coming, right?
Mm-hmm.
That'll probably be the last one that they do.
Somebody pointed this out to me the other day when they were talking about, like, these old video games and everything.
Mm-hmm.
If you were to have on, like, a hard drive or a flash drive or a something, every single Atari 2600 game,
right?
It would be like 50 megabytes.
Wow, that's a lot.
No.
Oh, that's a little.
That is about double the size of this recording that you're listening to today.
But not as good.
Well, I don't know. Yar's Revenge is a pretty that good is game.
What I meant to say is it's not as good because it's better.
I don't want to listen to us drone about respecting comic book creators or River Raid.
Oh, playing the Superman Atari game.
No, I'm talking about the good ones. Come on.
Spider-Man was good.
It was okay.
Amazing. What are you going to tell me? You were a big adventure guy? Is that what you're going to tell me?
Now, are you saying adventure or are you saying venture? Because those are two different games.
Whichever one. The one with the dragon that would eat you.
No, I never played that one.
That was a good one.
All right. So I would be remiss. Obviously, I did want to make sure that we mentioned that, of course.
Right.
I feel as though that has interest to our listeners.
A lot. It does, I bet.
So moving on to this weekend with conventions. Now, I do want to say I have a resource that I use for conventions, but sometimes it's spotty at best.
Facebook?
No. If your comic book website is just Facebook, then unfortunately I can't mention it physically.
Okay.
But like last weekend was HasbroCon,
mm-hmm.
which while not a comic book convention, not only Stan Lee was there, but like tons of comic book stuff. James Gunn was there of the Guardians of the Galaxy movies, and that didn't come up on any of my searches. So I do from time to time miss a convention, and for that I do apologize. Or I mistakenly say a convention was a wrong weekend. Like I said, that RockCon in Rochester, New York was last weekend. It's actually this upcoming weekend.
I feel bad for all those people who flew in on your say-so. Are you giving them all refunds, Posto?
If they could prove to me that they flew in specifically based on my misinformation, mm-hmm. I'll see how that works out for you.
Send them a sticker.
I'll send you two stickers. How do you like that?
Two is the best kind of stickers, if you know what I mean.
That's right. So, of course, there's that convention. There is the Granite State Comic Con in Manchester, New Hampshire, that is featuring Hacksaw Jim Duggan. And I only mention this
because
in the publicity photo that's used on the website, not only is it a very old, apparently candid photo of Hacksaw Jim Duggan, but it's a picture of him with a monkey.
Well, didn't all wrestlers have monkeys in the 80s?
No.
Thought that was a thing.
They did have animals, you know. The British Bulldogs had a dog, and Coco Beware had a bird, and Ricky the Dragon Steamboat had a Komodo dragon, and Jake the Snake had a bag with just a snake in it.
Just a snake, and no Spectrums.
Right. There's the Comic Card Convention in Bloomington, Minnesota, that Tim Seeley, current writer of the Nightwing book, is the featured guest at. There's the Monroe Comic-Con in Monroe, Michigan, that not only William Messner Loebs is going to be there, but also Brutus the Barber Beefcake will be there, which is, I think, two opposite ends of the spectrum of guests that you could possibly come across.
Me, I was hoping the Monroe Con was just a convention for fans of Monroe from Too Close for Comfort.
Is Jim J. Bullock still alive?
No, Jim J. Bullock took his own life, I believe.
I have to search this out.
For the block.
Now, first of all, I was always suspect of him spelling his name J.M.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to, like, spelling out Jim. But Todd, how dare you? He's still alive.
Is he still alive?
Absolutely still alive.
Are you sure?
Okay now, granted the 90s were rough for him, but he was still acting as of recently of 2012.
All right, well maybe he's going to be at the Monroe Con.
No, I would go though.
I'm sorry, I actually thought he was dead.
Now hang on. Now, sadly, he did get into the craze here on Twitter a long time ago. And he does have a Twitter account, Todd.
Mm-hmm. How many followers?
Okay.
Right.
Now, he did give up on his Twitter account back in 2013.
Right.
He only has 460 Twitter followers.
I gotta beat that.
Right.
That's no Shirley Temple Black, let me tell you.
That might have been off-air conversation. I'm not 100% sure.
It was off-air.
But Jim J. Bullock, where are you? We miss you.
That's right. We should try and get him on the show.
We should. But I would say the two biggies this weekend are the Memphis Comic Expo in Memphis, Tennessee. Gene Haw is going to be there. Derek Robertson, tangentially friend of the show, writer-artist of Rock Candy Mountain, Kyle Starks is going to be there. As is noted celebrity and Cleveland Browns fan, Jerry the King Lawler.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
The biggie, though, I would say, this weekend is the Saskatoon Comic Expo in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, Canada. Easy say for that me to say.
Say that fast three times.
Right. You've got the, I would say, guests of honor. They have them as doing like a little panel thing there. Maurice LaMarche and Rob Paulson, who are very famous in the voiceover community. Todd, you would know them better specifically as Pinky and the Brain. Possibly the reverse order on those names.
Right.
But there's a ton of comic book creators there as well. Ed Brisson, current writer of Old Man Logan, is going to be there. Francis Manapul, Tom Grummett, some of my favorite artists are going to be there. Now, this one for me is huge. And if I did not have Root Beer Wrestling, AIW, Cool as Ice, featuring Dean Malenko, this weekend in Cleveland, Ohio, AIWrestling.com, and I was closer to Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Both Kerry Nord and Carl Kessel are going to be there.
Ooh, Kerry Nord. I want, if anybody's near Kerry Nord, get me a Conan sketch.
If anyone's near Kerry Nord, get me a Daredevil sketch.
What if it's Conan fighting Daredevil?
I'm all right with that.
And what would we do? Just do joint custody every other day and then switch weekends?
Right.
Okay.
But yes, Kerry Nord and Carl Kessel did possibly the most underrated run on Daredevil of all time. And I would go there, I would bring all my copies of the book, I would have them sign them all, and I would pester them with thousands of questions.
You're that guy.
I absolutely, Todd, it's the two creators of one of my favorite runs of comic books of all time together.
Oh no, I have no problem with the questions.
Right.
But the whole run, I hate those guys.
It's not a very long run.
Well, you'd be like, uh-huh, and you remember when in this issue you did this and like Daredevil couldn't see things? And do you remember in this issue when you drew Daredevil not seeing things?
It'd be the Chris Farley show starring me.
Exactly. But you'd be slightly thinner.
Let's not go crazy.
Right.
But all the links to all of these shows, conventions this weekend will be in the show notes, of course, as will a link to the soon-to-be-name network at soon-to-be-name-network.com, soon-to-be-name-network.tumblr.com, where you can find out all of the shows that are coming out on a regular weekly basis. Shows such as Puzzle Warriors 3, Profane Argument, This Dumb Show, the other dumb show that we do, Longbox Heroes After Dark, and Podvocacy, who returned after their lengthy hiatus of 1 week. And again, there were some questions about I Kid Because I Love, but all the other shows you could check out at soon-to-be-name-network.com or soon-to-be-name-network.tumblr.com. Anytime any of these shows go live, they will be linked there, or anytime any of the people from these shows are on other shows, and they remind me, they'll also be linked there as well.
That's right. They all can't be the Cal Ripken of this network like us.
Right. Some of them have to settle to be the Billy Ripken.
Boy.
Just not as bad.
Mm-hmm.
That too inside or no?
That is very inside. No. It might be wrestling, so I'm not going to ask about
it. Do you remember the infamous Billy Ripken baseball card where on the bottom of his bat he had a swear word?
You know, that wasn't him.
Are you sure it wasn't Billy Ripken?
With the blank face on the bottom?
Mm-hmm.
That was Wade Boggs.
I would be willing to bet you a lot of money on this one that I am 100% right. When I type in Billy Ripken's name on the Twitter,
mm-hmm.
On Bing, I am looking at a copy of the card. A Fleer 1989 Billy Ripken card where it says that on the bottom.
What does it say? I forget.
It says blank face.
Mm. I thought it was Billy Ripken?
I'm looking at it.
I don't think it was Billy Ripken.
Listen, does anyone know more about sports than me?
That is true. That is true.
Right.
You know what? It was Billy Ripken.
How dare you doubt me?
You know, it happens. It happens. Somebody missed that in post. They were like, we don't need to airbrush that out. I had one of those cards.
Yeah.
Put it in the spokes of my wheels on my bike so I could sound like a motorcycle.
Or you could have just bought a motorcycle.
Well, with my balance, that's not a good idea.
Touche. So moving along, we've got digital sales and freebies to discuss. The Marvel Inhumans sale and Top Shelf comic sales are still ongoing. Image is having a sale on the Nick Spencer Morning Glories series. And Valiant is having a sale on Bloodshot, as there's a new Bloodshot book coming up. I would say, though, the two marquee sales of the week would be the Harley Quinn sale from DC. I guess it's her 25th anniversary.
Yeah, the other day was when she first appeared on the animated series. I don't remember what day, but I know it was a few days ago.
Well, I know we missed it last week, that we were like right on the cusp of the 25th anniversary of the first episode of the animated series.
Right, and then a few days later, it was the episode with Harley Quinn. Because I don't remember, was that weekly or...
It was 5 days a week.
What?
It was 5 days a week.
That's what I thought. I remember it being shown at night one time, like as the premiere, and then it was on in the afternoon. That's the way I remember it starting.
Mm-hmm.
Go Harley Quinn.
So
the biggest female character in the Bat family.
The one I would rather Batman marry.
What? Mm-hmm. You don't know what the answer is.
Right.
We haven't seen it yet.
Anyway, so there is a freebie in here of the Batman Adventures number 12. That's part of this quote-unquote sale for free. It's a lot of current stuff in single issues, but it's pretty much everything in trade. You know, it's a bunch of her early appearances. It's a bunch of her Batman Adventure collection stuff. The aforementioned Carl Kessel run is collected completely, and I know the joke that I just made here, Carl Kessel run, ha ha ha. But I would also be remiss not to mention, since DC does not typically put the Rebirth stuff on sale, the first 13 issues of the current Rebirth story arc is part of this sale, with the first five of those being $1 each and everything else being $2. Again, I only shine a light on that because DC doesn't typically do this sort of thing.
I wonder if they have the Lieberman run that was after Kessel left. That like the sales dropped because Kessel had left, and I don't think the Dodsons were on the book anymore. And then it petered out towards the end, but those were harder to find later in the single issue.
It is. It is in there in trade. Yeah. The first, if you look at the site, the first three trades of that volume are the Kessel stuff, and then the fourth trade is the Lieberman.
Ah, cool. See, look at me remembering Lieberman. I thought he was going to be the next big thing, and then nothing, he disappeared.
Wasn't he like a TV writer guy or something?
I think so.
Mm-hmm. And last but not least, of course, the other thing that's on sale would be Runaways, the Marvel Brian K. Vaughan smash hit. And there's another one where they have it pretty much any way that you want it. You want it in trades. You want it as one big giant collection. You want it in the single issues. It's all there. That first 18 issues done by Brian K. Vaughan, I really can't recommend a better comic book. If you've never read it, you know, now's the time to check it out. You know, the new series is coming out here kind of ahead of things with Marvel Legacy, which I don't know is a timing thing. Some other writers picked it up after that with varying levels of success. But the first 18 issues, definitely the Brian K. Vaughan stuff is really, really good comics.
Never read it. I'll have to look into it.
Absolutely. Like I said, highly recommend it. So moving along. Oh, and then some of the freebies I mentioned, that Batman Adventures number 12 is in there, written by Dan Slott. How about them apples?
Wow. Ren and Stimpy writer, Dan Slott.
But some of the other new freebies that went up from Marvel is the first issue of the Avengers X Sanction miniseries.
Mm-hmm.
The first issue of the Avenging Spider-Man, kind of loose Marvel Spider-Man team-up from a couple years back. Wolverine and the X-Men by Jason Aaron and Chris Bacalo, highly recommended. and Captain Britain and the MI-13. Those are all available for free. And those last two that I mentioned, again, they're free. I really recommend checking them out. That Paul Cornell Captain Britain run is very slept on.
Yep. All I know is at one point, Dr. Doom talked to Dracula on the moon.
Right.
No, that's a comic right there, son. And I missed that, buying that page by 30 seconds.
Are you kidding me?
Nope. I was at New York Con, I believe, and I walked over to, who drew that at the time?
Oh boy, I can't remember right now.
Paul Kirk.
Okay.
Or Kirk, his last name was Kirk, I remember that. Paul Kirk was the Manhunter. But I remember walking
and
over to
And it wasn't Jason
him.
Kirk, friend of the show and co-host of and Paladins of Voltron.
No, it wasn't that Kirk. But, so I went over to the table and I was like, oh, do you have this, like, the dot? He's like, nope, I don't. The inker got that one, because you know how, like,
yeah, the inkers get split them.
Right, yeah, split them. And he's like, I know he's over at that table over there. Like, he mentioned the number, so I knew where it was. He's like, and you better hurry, because I just sent another guy over there. So naturally, the sprinter's body that I have, Joe, did my best, like, hands like knives cutting through the air.
You just tackled anyone that looks suspicious.
Yes, I got over there, and the page was being sold as I got there.
Oh, boy.
That was when I used to go to cons with comma money, Joe, but I don't do that no more.
Folding money?
That's right. Walking around money, Joe.
Oh, my goodness. Those are the days, Todd.
Yep.
I never had those days.
Well, you can have them someday when the show blows up.
Oh, yes. So let's move into what we've read from this past week. Todd, I'm going to defer to you to start our Star Wars back-to-back discussion here with Journey to Star Wars, The Last Jedi, Captain Phasma.
One of those completely unclunky names for the Star Wars comics that are prequels to the movies.
Rolls off the tongue. The book's been sold out by the time it took you to read the title of the book.
That's right. Can I have... Oh, sorry if you had said it faster. But written by Kelly Thompson, art by Mark Chiacchetto. That's how I say the name, I'm pretty sure.
I would say that's good enough.
Right. Basically, it takes place right after the last Star Wars movie, not Rogue One. And Force Awakens took me a second. My brain froze up. That's why you're better at this than me. But Captain Phantasma is in the trash compactor, and basically that's where the book starts. It's her breaking out and trying to escape, but also find out certain things, as in the people that, you know, like the people that blew up the planet used her code. So she's wiping away any evidence that it was her code, because she doesn't want to be, you know, blamed in the explosion of the Star Killer. So while she's thinking about it, she realizes, okay, I've erased the thing, but let me check and see if anybody looked before I did. And she's like, oh, somebody did. So she's giving these, it's basically told through her giving her logs to, like, recording logs, and she's saying, like, I don't know what happened, but basically the person who has the information that it was her code was used to blow up the Starkiller, she's saying did it, not her, and she's trying to hunt him, saying, this whole time I'm trying to kill them. So she's chasing him through the Starkiller, and basically they get off the Starkiller before it explodes, and the rest of the story is going to be her chasing him down so he can't implicate her in the explosion. But the big thing, Joe, the first appearance of evil BB-8, BB-9 is in here.
Oh, no way.
So, like, if you want, like, the first appearance of BB-9, this is it. You gotta speculate on this thing.
This was like that Darth Vader number 5 that was the first appearance of Dr. Aphra that, like, blew up in value. And then, like, a bunch of them were ship damaged, so then that just, like, made people go even more crazy.
Right, I think it was all a Disney conspiracy to do that, too.
So this takes place, like, concurrently to Force Awakens, because Starkiller Base is still a thing?
Right, it is exploding as the issue takes place.
Gotcha.
Like, it's counting down. It's literally like 7 minutes till, you know, Starkiller's explosion, blah, blah, blah. And then she finds a TIE fighter with BB-9 in it. And she's like, I gotta hunt this guy down to, it's interesting. It's very dry because the character is very dry, like very like by the book. So as she's doing these logs, they're not very interesting. It's the art that has to carry the book because she's meant to be not very interesting, if that makes any sense. So as this is going on, she's like seeing, and as she's running, she's seeing scenes from the movie. She's seeing Kylo Ren and Rey fight on the planet's surface, and I forget who else, like that. It was things throughout the movie that you see throughout like panels and stuff like that. So yes, it is taking place during the movie, and then it's going to take place shortly afterwards, I guess, the next couple issues.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, this is a bi-weekly series, a weekly series?
That it's not weekly, that much I know, because it's not coming out this week.
Mm-hmm.
So it may be bi-weekly, but I don't remember what the last one was. The last one was kind of fast, remember, because they were filling one of those gaps between the Star Wars minis. Remember how they always had minis going on?
I'm almost certain this is bi-weekly, and I'm sure if, you know, this becomes essential reading, quote-unquote, the trade will more than likely be out before the movie comes out.
It might even be out the week after the last issue, so.
Right.
Because sometimes they do that just to get them on the racks.
Mm-hmm. So, the Star Wars book that I read was not by Marvel, surprisingly. It was by IDW, called Star Wars Adventures. Essentially an all-ages Star Wars book. This had two stories in it. Let me see here. As I have the information at my fingertips. Written by Kevan Scott, with art by Derek Charm. The main story, the longer story, is a story about Rey and her dealings as a junk scavenger and selling things, you know, to that weird pink alien that was Simon Pegg in the movie.
Right.
So it's a lot of the first story is essentially her dealings with other scavengers and how they pit themselves against each other and how they, spoilers everyone, kidnap and are attempting to torture that guy that she's trading stuff to. So now she's in a conundrum. Do I help this guy who's done me wrong? But obviously if he goes, someone worse is going to come into his place.
Any pod racing?
No pod racing. However, the second story, the backup feature, if you will, entitled Tales from Wild Space, firmly takes place during the course of the prequels.
Ooh, is there any diner owners?
Yes, I was going to say, it's the long and the short of that story is young Obi-Wan Kenobi and his friend Dex, who runs a 50s diner in outer space, play a trick on an alien who looks like Sny Snoodles of the Max Rebo Band, and trick that alien creature into stealing something that means nothing to teach it a lesson.
Wow.
It's a very nice-looking book. It's a very fun and light book. If you have children who are watching these movies and you want to give them something light and fun to read, I highly recommend this. IDW does a really good job at the light and fun stuff that's out, whether it be older stuff, whether it be newer stuff like this, or the book that's kind of running concurrent to the new DuckTales cartoon, where it captures the look and the feel of those shows, and it makes it accessible to younger readers.
If that first story hadn't been a Rey story, and it was a Watto story, and the second half was Dex, I would have been all over that. All over. Oh, Annie.
Watto, is that you?
Yes, it is me, Joe.
Oh, my goodness. I didn't know you did impressions.
I do. I'm the...
You're the rich little of this podcast network?
No, I think I'm more than that.
I tried to turn my head away from the microphone so I didn't vomit directly into it. So, last but not least, the book that we're going to be discussing here to wrap up what we read from last week is Generations, Iron Man and Ironheart, written by Brian Michael Bendis with art by Marco Rudy.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of those things where it's a little bit more clear as to what's going on with the Generations books. I didn't read all of them. Mm-hmm. You know, the characters that are in the current continuity are being plucked out and sent to a different time. More times than not, it's been to the past. The Totally Awesome Hulk one, Cho was sent to the past. In the Thor one, Jane Foster was sent to the past. This one, Riri Williams, is sent to the far-flung future,
mm-hmm.
Where she meets up with Tony Stark. And things aren't quite what they seem. So you wanted to talk about this, so I'll let you take point.
Right. The thing I like about this was it threw me off because most of them, I haven't read them all either, but they all took place in the past. And it was explained what it was. I don't know, do you know how the Generations characters are being, this is happening? It spins out of the Hydra, what was it, Secret Empire?
Oh, it does.
Yes, basically the Cosmic Cube, Kobik or whatever it was that did all this stuff, was like, oh, I'm going to give you guys a little present for helping out, and it sends these characters that are in the Generations books to meet their equivalents and try to give them some knowledge about themselves. She's like, here's a present, and it happens in one panel, and then they reappear in the next panel. So that's what's going on with these books, but they all have been to the past that I know of, as you said, and this one threw me for a loop when it started off in the future. And I liked that because it did catch me off guard. And I really liked it because, you know, one of my few problems, because I like the carry of Riri Williams, was that it was like, okay, here's a character you're going to like that you have to, she's going to be Ironheart and Tony Stark's going to be gone. And like, to me, some that rubs people the wrong way when they're like, here, this is what you're going to like, you know? And this issue shows her a possible future, and I like it because it does something for the character to push them that like they could be great and the great things that they can do. And, you know, Tony showing her, which is the weird, Sorcerer Supreme Tony from the future, which I'm not sure how I feel about because he's always been a man of science, but that's another story. But I did enjoy it, like, cause I think it really did move the character of Riri forward. And I think it gives her a little bump from Tony and everything. I really liked it.
So my only, and again, I don't really want to say an issue, but my only concern with this is Riri is such a new character.
Mm-hmm.
And where they have her in her book is consistently learning, and she is consistently pushing herself forward.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I haven't read all the Generations books, but at least at the points in the two that I read before this is, you know, obviously Jane Foster is kind of, I don't want to say at a down moment in her career as Thor, but obviously, you know, it's constantly the battle with every time that she turns into Thor, all the cancer treatment that she's had in her body essentially has to start from scratch.
Right.
And there's an upcoming story that is essentially going to write her out of being Thor, allegedly.
Right.
The Cho stuff is taking place after his constant debates and constant fights with, you know, keeping the beast within him and so on and so forth. But I don't feel as though the motivation that was provided to Riri in this book was needed, because she's always a character, because she's so new. You know, I think she's, you know, less like her ongoing book is, you know, less than 12 issues. I think she's probably had less than 20 appearances so far. And I don't think that she, like, I like the issue and all, you know, I like these things where it's like, you go into the future and, oh, that person's your grandson. And they like, oh, Dr. Riri Williams. And she's like, blah. And I don't see why she's being surprised that she's a doc, that these people know her as a doctor. In her own book, by the time that she's 12, she has multiple degrees from college.
Yeah.
And she's constantly learning and changing and growing and so forth. And she didn't need this book to give her that shot in the arm to keep going.
I have a few questions. Does she have degrees, or did she never finish? Because remember, like, when we first appeared, she did all that damage to the school and she was thrown out?
It may not have been the most recent issue, but it may have been like one of the last two issues.
Mm-hmm.
There's a story, like there's flashbacks of her wanting to be an astronaut.
Mm-hmm.
And her teacher telling her, that like, oh, you could be anything that you want. And she's like, no, don't tell me that. Tell me that there's something I can't do so I could do it.
Mm-hmm.
So I can come back and say, so-and-so told me I can never do this and overcome it. And the teacher's trying to be supportive, and neither one are getting each other, and the teacher just kind of says, well, you might be able to do that, Riri, but you'll never be Tony Stark.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's the next issue is a thing where she calls NASA and is filling out an application to be an astronaut, and she, in the thing, is saying, I'm 12, And the person on the phone is saying, well, you need to have XXX degrees. And she goes, oh, okay, that's the one I'm missing. Thank you. And hangs up.
Okay, I vaguely remember that, but I don't remember. But here's the thing. Do you ever think that maybe since she became the superhero, that she thinks that's her course? And she's like, oh, I actually go and do that? Do you know what I mean? Like, because she's inventing without, you know, getting her doctorate. So she's like, oh, I eventually get my doctorate? Like, because I'm a superhero now. And also, the thing that I like about this is the character up to this point has had anxiety and doubt. And I think this helps, because I don't know how long you can do that with the character after 12 appearances or 20 appearances. Doubt itself, constant self-doubt begins to grate on you and as a reader. And I think this gives her, like, you can still have self-doubt and anxiety, but you can't have it as much as she does. Like, it's the next stage in her evolution. It's very fast, but that's storytelling these days. If that makes any sense.
I guess it's just like... Like I said, while a good issue, it just felt as though this didn't need to be the... It's like, oh, here's the shot in the arm to inspire her because she's already being that inspiring character. You know, are you caught up on her main book?
Yes.
Okay, well, like, she takes over Latveria. She's doing all these things, and it just seems as though, while a good issue, I just liked it more as the glimpse into her possible future.
Gotcha. Right. Gotcha. But don't forget, we got to get through all this fast because Legacy's coming up and Tony will be back.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
All those new number ones that are perfectly, you know, numbered out to be those Legacy numbers.
But they're not new number ones.
Well, I mean the new number ones after the Legacy numbers come back. But anyway.
Anyway, still a good book. Just maybe the arc of it was a little not great for me.
Okay.
But still good.
Yeah, still good.
So, that's what we read from this past week. Let's get into what we're looking forward to coming out this week. If you head over to longboxheroes.com, every Tuesday around 5:30 Eastern time or so, we put up the pull post, which is a link to all the books that are coming out this week. Whether you get your books in print, whether you get them digitally, whether you're waiting for the trade, whether you're waiting for the oversized collection, what have you, be forewarned, be forearmed, know what's coming out, be ready, and like Todd and I are attempting to do two things, the calendar year 2017, one is a track of how many books we've purchased throughout the year, plus a breakdown of that by publisher. I say it every week as a reminder to myself, next year is going to be dollars spent. And we're also attempting to guess what the other is most looking forward to coming out this week. Todd has a one correct guess lead over me. And we both have a lot of books this week.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at your list of books, I'm going to take a shot in the dark and say the one that you're most looking forward to coming out is the Generations Captain Marvel deal.
Yes, it is.
Booyah!
More Marvel than Marvel.
Of course.
Right. So I'm looking at your collection of books that are coming out this week. As the book you're looking forward to most, Run, 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 Runaways, number one?
That is correct, yes. Mm-hmm. I'm not familiar with the writer, but it's a property that I love and am very happy to see return. Mm-hmm. So I'm definitely excited to check it out.
Yes.
And it's a big, giant week of books. And, of course, I'm on the road and so forth.
What? You're on the road?
Again. First time on the road in nearly 4 months.
Wow.
And then November's busy. December. Yeah, November's busy. But other than that. While you're over at longboxheroes.com, be sure to check out all the other stuff that's over there. Everything that Todd and I have ever done on the internet exists at longboxheroes.com, whether it be past editions of this show, past editions of Longbox Heroes After Dark, past pull posts, past Todd and Joe Have Issues. Everything is there, all in one handy-dandy URL, thanks to my fancy HTML coding with the help of WordPress, neither of which are sponsors. Also, you click the little button that says store to buy a shirt or a sticker. Since I'm going to be live and in living color in Cleveland this weekend, you might be able to even save on shipping. Just give me a heads up and I'll bring you a shirt. And we can make a financial transaction in that manner, live and in person.
That's right. And if you're there, you can give him an impassioned plea that we should get pins.
Todd, anyone who comes up to me this Friday and asks for us to have pins, I will absolutely come back and tell you.
Okay.
I will not keep it a secret out of shame.
No, you won't.
But one of the other things that you could do while over at longboxheroes.com is click our Amazon banner across the top of the page. Any purchase that you make is going to give us a little bit of a kickback. It's not going to cost you anything extra. It's going to make us feel good about ourselves. At the end of 2 months from now, when we get that little bing-bing from Amazon, it just makes our days a little bit brighter.
Yes, it does.
Some of the notable purchases through the Amazon click-through this past week was Northlanders, Volume 3, the Brian Wood Vertigo book about Vikings and all that sort of jazz.
Mm-hmm.
Someone also purchased a pair of Dickies Men Big Tall Bib Overalls.
Ooh.
And someone also purchased a Wazoo Loud Kazoo.
Mmm.
As opposed to the quiet kazoos you could purchase.
That's right.
If there are loud quiet kazoos out there, I'd like to see them.
That's right. The loud kazooer.
Is that like the loud whistler?
Yes, but this is like, you know, they have kazoo enhancing paraphernalia.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be. Anyway.
Anyway, did we have any Todd's Art Attack this week?
No, we had 7 last week, so there's a bit of a drought this week.
Right. Too many last week. We should have spread them out.
Well, I thought counting them off in a dramatic way would bring people to the party.
Unfortunately, not this week.
Oh, well.
So last but not least to close out the show is Todd and Joe Have Issues. And a lot of this was on point to you, of course. This was your book that you picked, Starman number 11. But wait, Todd, before we do that book, how could I overlook week one results in the Pigskin Pick'ems?
What?
Yes. I almost forgot.
Don't forget your favorite thing in the world.
Oh, boy. If you want to hear me talk about how much I love football.
Mmm. If there's only a place.
If only there's a place. So where's everybody standing these days, Todd? I'm doing poorly.
You are. I'm,
and by me, I mean my son.
What? You're blaming your son for all your...
Not blaming, just stating a fact.
Just stating a fact. Well, I am tied for 17th. Even though that really, I don't even know how all that works. But, yes, yeah, so you are down at, let's see, where are you? You're down there at 41, tied with other people such as Master Jupiter 32, Star Wars Fanboy, and Words Big 80s. Shockingly, you both have the same amount of picks.
Do you think it was I'm going right now to check to see if we had the same exact picks from last week.
Mm-hmm. But the highest total is 12. There's two people, the Ginger Avenger and Ando. Then I'm down at 9. So I'm not out of the hunt yet. I'm 3 out of the pick. So do you know how to do it to see how
Now, I will have you know,
mm-hmm.
through an absolute coincidence, I will say this, I don't want to tip my hand. There is one defining thing that the words account did not do that Mayan did, even though we do have the same exact picks across the board.
What defining thing?
I'm not going to say it on the air.
I'm looking at it right now. I'll know in 2 seconds.
Uh-huh.
Give me a second. I got to go to week one. La, 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 la. Let's see. There's... I think I know what it is.
All right.
And I would like people to know who listen to the show that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers Miami game was canceled for this week and will be rescheduled in their bye week on the in the 11th week of football. There was no points, you know, taken away. It's just the game wasn't played because both of them, if they played at their home places, would have been hit by Irma over the weekend. So for safety reasons, that game didn't count and will be made up several weeks from now.
So I do want to make special shout-outs to some of the other names that I may have missed in the past. Mm-hmm. Dave Howard, longtime listener of the show. I'd say ultra-mega-power listener. His name in here is Tuesdays with Terry, which I appreciate.
Ugh.
Somebody who, you know, did the silly thing that I did where, like, their name is ESPN, blah, 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 blah. Their name is Dr. Doom Likes Stickers.
That's the worst name in this group.
Someone has on here WWTBD, so I don't know who TB is. So if that's you, let us know.
Mm-hmm.
Just looking through the rest of these names here. Peanut Butter Jelly Time is someone.
Peanut Butter Jelly Time, mm-hmm. Peanut Butter Jelly Time.
And I'm happy to see a lot of our network compatriots in here as well. I see Craig from Puzzle Warriors 3. I see Julio and Joey from Talking Gimmicks.
Thought you were going to say Down by the Schoolyard there for a second.
Yakko of Paladins of Voltron is in there. And if I'm missing you, I apologize. You know, sometimes your name just doesn't pop out at me.
Mm-hmm.
But thanks for everyone for playing along. We almost have 50 people involved in this, and that makes me happy to see that sort of that level of involvement with the something that we're doing with the show, especially That's something right. as fake and phony and fraud as football.
And I had somebody ask me today, a certain person from another country who, you know, isn't employed somewhere, what the prize will be. Will it be a pin or a sticker? And I was like, they were like, please let it be a pin. Nobody wants a sticker.
Everybody wants stickers.
Of course, they sounded like, you know, please, may I have some more? But that's a whole other story.
All right, back on track.
Yep.
I need to add that to the notes. It's been several weeks since I've had that in the notes. Todd, talk to me about Starman number 11.
Starman 11, a Times Past story. It's Shade writing in his journal about things that happened before, while... Jack was very young or before he was born, the different Times Past stories. And it is basically Ragdoll has been terrorizing Opal City. And Shade talks about how, you know, Opal is the one place he was a hero and he never did anything bad. But he was away fighting the Silver Age Flash, which was cool because he did fight him a couple of times in the Silver Age books. And while Ragdoll, you know, has changed his MO from stupid, you know, just Tumblr and double jointedness. He's become a real like psycho with this cult that he has, and it becomes too much for the Golden Age Starman. So he calls in the Golden Age Green Lantern, Jay Garrick, Flash, Dr. Midnight, and Hourman to stop this. Because one thing is, two children have been kidnapped of a bank owner, I believe. I forget who it was, but they were ransoming the kids to open the vault. And then there was another that they were going to attack this area, and there was the only way was a bridge, and they had to defend that to keep people, you know, from being hurt or killed or robbed. And while that's going on, they were trying to find Ragdoll. So they classic, you know, especially back in the Golden Age thing, they split up to take care of it. Hourman, you know, is going to guard the bridge. Dr. Midnight is going to to find the children that are kidnapped, and Green Lantern, Flash, and Starman follow a lead that they get that could be where Ragdoll is. And basically it's the story of, it's almost James Robinson telling the story of how villains have changed over the course of the years, and I really like that. And it's the Golden Age characters waxing poetic about the people that they're like, when did crazy become sociopaths? Like, where was that? Give me the good old days of like the gambler when he was robbing an ice cream store and we dropped him in, you know, a big vat of sundae and handed him over. It's like, but somewhere along the line, everybody became the Joker. And this is that story, and it also implies that the Ragdoll at the end says, you know, I'm going to get out, or I have people who work for me, and when it happens, I'm going to kill everyone you care about. And something, you know, dastardly happens as they're trying to capture him again, and the Ragdoll ends up dead. And it's implied later on, I believe, in the story that Starman was really the one who did it. But in the end, they all kind of were like, things happened. And, you know, they all seem to be kind of covering for each other. But it's a good story for the turning point of comic book characters becoming darker and the villains becoming especially dark.
Right, and to see these specific characters, these Golden Age characters, address kind of in the open, I'm sure, things that were being addressed by people for, you know, the better part of the last 15 years prior to the book coming out, essentially saying that when did these villains change?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when did things go from simple like they were, you know, when the comics, you know, when we were in our heyday, essentially comics from the 40s, to the comics are now. You know, we kind of aren't equipped with dealing with these sort of level threats.
Right. Like I said, when did everybody become the Joker?
Right. Which is a very good point that they bring up, where Alan Scott is talking about, you know, that new kid Batman.
Right, he's talking about how, because that's where Alan Scott was from. He was from Gotham City, and he's talking about the new breed of, and that's Batman's rogues. And you can only imagine how someone like Alan Scott looks at that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I just find, I found it fascinating. I really liked it. And I did like, as the stories were being told, I liked the Dr. Midnight, you know, fighting the people and saving the children. There's that great shot of when he comes behind them and, you know, knocks the guy up but catches the two kids as they fall, the two babies. I'm like, that's really cool. And there's something about a countdown that is a great story trope.
Yep.
Is our man fighting the bridge full of thugs while it's, you know, the numbers are ticking off. They're like, you know, he only has 1 hour. These thugs have all night and he's got to do it. And he's like, you know, 58 minutes left. Or I forget which way they did it off the top of my head, if it was like 1 minute in, but it was the countdown. You just knew that he had 1 hour and he got it done with, you know, like a little bit to spare. And you're like, just, it talks about him coming down off the miracle low. And I'm like, this is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
I love that scene.
So I really like the art in this. Matt Smith, kind of, you know, tough to figure out where else he's done stuff. But it was very much like, I don't know if you're familiar with the artist Peter Snageberg.
Yeah, he did a lot of Starman stuff.
Right, he did a lot of Starman stuff, and I feel as though, like, it was like, oh, we couldn't get him, so, like, let's get a guy who could ape that style.
You know who he reminded me of a little bit in his style was, like, the newer Mike Mignola?
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, yep. That awkward, like, you know, and different look to the face. I don't know how to explain it. I'm never good at that, how to explain artwork, you know, because we're a podcast. We're not a visual medium. But I just look at it and just, like, scraggly lines. I don't mean that in a bad way. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? I don't know. Just that's my take on it. That's what his style reminds me of.
So I read this in the trades that I have.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of the few books that I have both in trades and in the Omnibuy as well.
No single issues?
No single issues. This is one that I kind of got on a little bit late. Mm-hmm. But the infuriating part of this is, Todd,
I think I know where you're going. Go ahead.
Is the way that this is collected in the trades.
Mm-hmm.
Not only is it not collected in order.
Right.
There are tons of issues that are not in the trades.
Right.
So this, as Todd mentioned, is a Times Past story. And they did a bunch of the Times Past stories in one trade. The fourth trade, after issue 27 was collected.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that, and then they throw in like, oh, it crossed over with two issues of Power of Shazam, so let's throw that in there. But there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 issues of this 80-issue run that are just not in the trades.
Right, and then at the time,
crazy to me!
Right, and that last trade was one of those trades that almost never came out, wasn't it?
It was, right, I think, so looking at the release schedule on the trades,
mm-hmm.
it was a big gap between, the middle trades. Like, most of the other trades came out relatively on schedule.
Right.
But there's a point where it goes from May of 2001 to March of 2002. And then it's March of 2002 until January of 2004 between the next trades.
That's not that bad sometimes.
And I know what you're... 2 years?
Yes, because, you know, when you're not popular, stuff gets pushed back. Hey,
if you're not popular, why did the book go on for another 2 years after that?
No, not... I know you're laughing at me, but not probably the... They don't sell... They don't put them out.
Mm-hmm.
That they don't just go, oh, I'm not going to put Starman out. You know, it's selling. I think, you know, in all honesty, like you said, the times passed and the way it was traded ticked a lot of people off.
Ugh.
So,
I was ticked off when I was collecting it and then rereading this and going through my trades. I was ticked off all over again.
And so now do you have the omnibuses, as you say? Omnibuy?
I do.
You do?
Yes.
The Omnibuy are in order, though.
They're not only in order, they have all those issues that I mentioned that are not in there, plus tons of other stuff.
Right. They have, like, the Starman, Hellboy, Batman.
Mm-hmm.
They have the... I'm trying to think. I don't know if the trades... Do the trades have the Showcase issues? You know the ones I'm talking about? Showcase 92 or whatever they were? It was the Three Shade Storms.
No.
Okay, they're in the Omnibuy.
The Omnibuses do.
Right. The Omnibus have everything up to... It doesn't have, because it wasn't out at the time, it doesn't have the Blackest Night Starman issue.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't have the 12-part Shade story
right. That
they did. But that was obviously... Those came out years before that all that was printed, so... But I love those Omnibuy, but that was when DC was skimping out. No, were the Starman ones pretty heavy? And then the next ones were like, you could spin them on your finger like a Harlem Globetrotter because they were so light. They were on cheap paper.
It was the next ones. Right, okay, these ones are real nice.
Okay. You know what I'm talking
yes,
about.
Yes, yes.
Right? Where you're like, wow, is this even a book or is it a hologram that I'm holding?
But don't let us decrying the way that this was collected deter you. Starman is a great comic, and you're probably better off getting, if you could find them, everything in single issues.
Yep, I have it all in single issues. I'm wondering, do those Omnibuys even have, like, the JSA 80-page short stories?
Let's get into it.
Oh, I'm sorry, did I start a thing?
No, I got it at my fingertips.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got all the annuals. You've got the Showcase... issue 12 from 95 and 4 and 5 from 96.
Right.
You've got the Starman Secret Files. You've got the Shade miniseries included in there.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the Starman 80-page giant. You've got the Starman Mist one-shot, the aforementioned crossover with Power of Shazam. You've got the Batman Hellboy Starman two-part miniseries. You've got the Starman 1000 issue.
1 million.
1 million, my apologies. You've got Stars and Stripes Zero. You've got the All-Star Comics 80-page giant. You've got JSA All-Stars number 4.
Those two had short story. I don't know if it's the whole issue. Both of those things had a Starman short story by James Robinson. So, wow, that's a lot of stuff.
Yes.
That's everything. I have all those in single issues,
but
having those in the Omnibuy are nice on the bookshelf.
Yes.
And I don't know. I know, here's the thing. I know for a fact Starman is in my top 20, but I'd have to sit down and figure if Starman's in my top 10.
You know what I mean? I think like, it's a safe 20, safe top 20, but yeah, I could, an argument can be made top 5.
It could be. It could be, but there are, there are some strong cases for top 5. And then you'd have to do the rules. Like, is it ongoing or is it like, do miniseries, like would Watchmen count or, you know what I mean? Like, ooh, that's an interesting question. Top 5. That's close.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely top 20. Most likely top 10, possibly top 5. Oof. That makes me think. Mm-hmm. I don't like thinking.
All right, well, good. You don't have to think anymore because I think we're done.
Yeah.
All right, everyone, thank you very much for listening.
Time out. What's next week's book, Joe?
Oh, Todd, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
So, we did have a recommendation for a book, and I promise you, Jason Sandberg, longtime listener to the show, we're going to get to it next week. But this week, I think, based on everything that we discussed at the beginning of the show, our Todd and Joe Have Issues is going to be Giant Size X-Men number 1.
Len Wein.
Written by Len Wein. With art by, I think, Dave Cockrum?
I'm pretty sure.
Right. So that's going to be our Todd and Joe Have Issues for next week.
That sounds good.
Thank you for stopping me in my tracks, sir.
No problem. I hate to slap you down, but sometimes I have to do it.
Right. Are we done for real now?
Now we are all done. I won't even ramble on to make the show longer.
All right, good. Thank you for listening to episode 363 of Long Box Heroes. For Joe, this is Todd, and we will see you all here next week.
Remember, be a faucet, not a drain.
Boop! All right, it's Ace and Joe here for week 2 football picks. I was going to say I forgot to drop the music in from last week, but I don't think I need the music because Ace is singing. So, we got 7 right last week. So is it Iron Board Imp that's here with me today instead of Asa?
No, you can hear me saying, la, 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 la.
Are we going to do our picks?
Yeah.
Okay. Who do you think would win? The Texans or the Bengals?
Bengals.
Who do you think would win? The Bills or the Panthers?
The Bills.
The Bills. The Bears or the Buccaneers?
The Buccaneers.
The Browns or the Ravens?
The Ravens.
The Ravens?
Yeah. How come we didn't do this
one? We did. See, I'm putting the check marks over here. The Titans or the Jaguars?
Titans.
The Cardinals or the Colts?
Cardinals.
The Eagles or the Chiefs?
The Chiefs.
The Vikings or the Steelers?
The Steelers.
The Patriots or the Saints?
The Saints.
The Jets or the Raiders?
The Raiders.
The Dolphins or the Chargers?
The Chargers.
The Cowboys or the Broncos?
The Broncos.
The Redskins or the Rams?
Ramunition.
The 49ers or the Seahawks?
Seahawks.
The Packers or the Falcons?
Falcons.
And the last one, the Lions or the Giants? All right, those are our picks for week 2. Now,
I have to get back to Pillow Fight.
We're going to go back to Pillow Fight for a little bit. Anything else you want to say to anyone?
See that? that?
Yeah. That's your voice. Oh, that's me binging, too. All right. I'm going to stop it now, okay?
Blow, 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 blow.